in Peru, like I live in one of the recently contacted tribes, like back in the 80s, there's still three uncontacted tribes in Peru itself that people know about. They fly over there, fly over the jungle and see the stuff in planes and that kind of thing. And in Brazil, there's a couple dozen. But there's also ruins all over the place. I mean, Peru is like this one vast, open, like a warehouse of all kinds of ruins. They just found a big Inca cemetery, which is actually on TV this month on Nova, I believe, about a big Inca cemetery is found outside of Lima. And they had one of the big battles of the insurrection of the Incas against the Spaniards outside of Lima. They tried to spend, the Incas came down out of the mountains, surrounded the city of Lima, and almost wiped out Francisco Pizarro when he was in that city. And a lot of the Incas were killed, were buried kind of hastily in this cemetery. But anyhow, there's still Inca ruins out there. And people, in fact, one of the guys in the book, he just left like 3 days ago, go down to Peru and keep looking for what he thinks there's a fifth lost city out there in the area of Machu Picchu. Because if you look at a map, the Incas kind of built their roads and they had cities equidistant from each other. There's like a city here and a city here and a city here and a city here and no city there. But there's roads that go out there. So he thinks there's a fifth city out there someplace. So it's still ongoing. You know, they're taking planes down there with radar and looking below the vegetation and all kinds of stuff. It's an ongoing process.
Well, you answered my question. It was how many lost cities of the Incas are there still there? So
well, that's,
you just answered it.
It's also the lost city part. So that was kind of drummed up by Hiram Bingham in a sense, because they say he went down there and actually a week out of Cusco he found this place. And that there was peasants living there. He was told about it by some people in Cusco. You know, there's graffiti on the walls. And actually, the peasants had cut down a lot of the trees and stuff, you know, there. And he had a camera on a tripod. He took all these photos. And if you look at the photos, they're with National Geographic. You can see photos. The only ones that were published are the photos that had still trees. They were still covered up. And all the ones that were, like, chopped down trees and looked like it wasn't a lost city, they didn't publish. So he wrote a famous book, which actually was just republished, called Lost City of the Incas by Hiram Bingham. It was published like in 2002, republished in 2002. So he kind of coined the Lost City, and he was very careful to kind of not talk about the graffiti on the walls and not talk about being led there by. If you read his account, it's, you know, he kind of blazoned his way on a trail, and, you know, came through the bushes, and there it was, and had his camera, and it was wild, and snakes, and the whole bit. It's, you know, very Victorian. But it was a stretch of imagination. Of course, he actually had a contract with Harper's Magazine at the time to write four articles that made for a good story. He kind of created his own story. But as far as more lost cities, there are a lot of places. That have, I mean, where the Inca Empire goes down into the jungle because it's all covered up by the jungle. There's all kinds of roads that go off there, and there's stuff all over the place. And it's really a frontier. It's really wild because that's the very upper edge of the Amazon. So. You know, it's the least explored parts. So that's why there's uncontacted tribes. There's still ruins to be discovered. You know, it's a wild place, even in 2007.
Did you find anything in the Chronicles or newer information about how the Incas were so successful at their bureaucracy without a written language? That's what always has amazed me. I understand they had the quipu, but still, I mean, I imagine that was only a limited amount of people at the top that could use those.
I mean, it's very true, and, you know, it's like any kind of organization. I mean, the Incas were a really small ethnic group, and you have that empire's 2,500 miles long. It's the largest empire that's ever been created in the New World, indigenous empire down there. And if you look at the history of Peru, you know, if you had, like, time-lapse shots, you know, there's all kinds of, for the 1,000 years before the Incas, there was all kinds of other empire states. You keep going back in time. Civilizations grew up in the river valleys of Peru, and then one valley would conquer the next and form a little city-state, and that city-state would conquer another city-state, and pretty soon you had a state, and then the state would conquer the state, and you'd have an empire, and an empire would conquer, you know, and so on and so forth. So the Incas were the very last part of that process. It was just enormous. There's a famous story when Hernando Cortez, who conquered the Aztecs, went back to Spain, and he went and saw the King of Spain, and the King of Spain said, well, what does Mexico look like? And Cortez grabbed a piece of paper and crumpled it up, threw it down and said, that's Mexico. And by comparison, you know, the Aztec Empire is about that big. The Inca Empire would be, you know, fill this room. You know, the Inca Empire, by comparison, you'd have to take a huge piece of cardboard and crumble it up and stamp on it. You know, just just enormous. So these tribes, they conquered the Inca, the ethnic group itself is probably maybe 200,000 people. And yet they ran an empire of 10 million. and those were other ethnic groups. So it was a very small group of ethnic Incas that ran the whole thing, and of those, it was a very tiny elite that actually were the administrators. But the quipus, these cores that the Incas used, that they had all kinds of information, are still being deciphered. They still don't know exactly how they worked. So it's possible they also told stories. It's possible they were mnemonic cores that they could recall stories. It's possible they had more information. There's all kinds of research going on at Harvard about the binary system of, you know, of information storage on those things. So who knows? That, you know, some people claim they're being discovered how that information network worked, but they were fantastic administrators, just like the Romans. So they built their empire upon thousands of years of cultural history. You know, they were just better administrators in a sense. To answer your question, but they had, according to the Spanish chronicles, they had organized the whole. They had organized families, and then 10 families would be supervised by somebody. You know, it's like a decimal system, and then those would be when those became 100 groups, that would be supervised by another person, and then 100 groups would be 1,000 groups, and then 10,000, and then, you know, they had just a whole system of hierarchy and stuff, and administered all the way from the top with all these different people who were in control and functionaries and taking notations and stuff. It was really, really regimented and organized society. They had 25,000 miles of roads and highways in the Inca Empire, and you just couldn't take a holiday on them and go travel with your picnic basket. You know, only functionaries from the state could travel on the roads. And there was, you know, toll bridges, people checking. You know, it was really almost not Stalinist, but it was a
all with the quipus.
What's that?
So administrators checking off people,
yeah,
and all with
doing
the quipus.
And there's storehouses, and all the storehouses went on the quipus, and how much corn was there. It was really, really well run society, but really, really organized, and, you know, because it all came from the top. But,
yeah.
But they're still unraveling that stuff. You know, who knows? We may find out more. Do you have a question?
Well, you had mentioned that you pitched the idea to Simon & Schuster, and without having researched the book yet or having anything written. Did you have a previous relationship with them, or how did you?
No, I mean, it wasn't that. I pitched. I mean, two questions. Because I work in television, so working. You know, I make films, and right now I'm doing a 10-part series for Discovery on this anthropology series around the world. And television is very strange because this series I'm working on right now is. It was sold 1.5 pages for development. I mean, television is very different than books. In television, you can write a page and a half, and you take it to an executive and say, hey, what do you think about the idea? Well, great, we'll just take it. In fact, I have a story of selling a reality series in Los Angeles where all the reality series come out there. And this is kind of crazy, but there's a guy who's a big exec in Fox. And I went there with another person, and this guy, just to make a decision on whether he should buy $10 million reality series. He says, come on to my office. He's like 4 hours late, but get in there. And he has a piano in his room. And then we have like a plane to catch like about half an hour. And he starts playing, you know, where the sun doesn't go down really badly on the piano, and, you know, looking over his shoulder. And we're like sitting there going, this $10 million deal on this. And like, long story short, he finally stops, and we have like 10 minutes left, and he goes, he's like his hands like that. He goes, I'll buy it. It was like, it was a piano, you know, tune in the back of a room, you know, late, 10 minutes. I thought, the books is a lot more, Simon Schuster, like, I have an agent, and, you know, wrote a proposal and gave it to the agent. The agent actually started, I was living in London at the time, working in film there, shot this idea of Vilcabamba, this insurrection of Incas in London. And then I moved to New York, and so there was a sub-agent there, and she took it around to Simon Schuster, and actually the senior editor of Simon Schuster, who was really interested in this kind of stuff. He's the one that basically gave the thumbs up on that. But you have to write, I wrote like 70 pages, you know, first chapter, outline, you know, whole detailed scenario, what the book would be. But it kind of grew, the backstory kind of grew out of that nevertheless. And they're kind of used to that. You contract a book, and, you know, they have a life of their own. You know, they start maybe heading in a certain direction. It's really up to you and the editor if that's the way they want to do it. So, but it's not a page and a half. It's, you know, it's... By comparison, it's a lot of stuff. Yeah.
What is the language that they spoke? How did you communicate with the tribes people in the Amazon area? Are they, do they have a native language, or is it Spanish?
No, they had. I mean, there's. I actually just got back from Papua New Guinea because I was making a film in Papua New Guinea like last month. Papua New Guinea, I guess, the densest language diversity in the world. There's over 860 languages in that country. Peru had probably 60 languages, especially in the Amazon region, but all those different Andean valleys had their own language. And the Incas, like the kind of like the Romans, they instituted Quechua, you know. know, this their own language, and they're a very small ethnic group, and they, as he went across, they're kind of lingua franca, and they kind of spread that across. So all the administrators and that kind of thing had to learn that sort of feeling each other. But the Incas were only around for about 90 years before they got cut short. But in the Amazon, there's all kinds of indigenous languages. So I live with a tribe that's very small. It's about 500 people total, different villages, and they spoke their own language. So I was there long enough to learn that, so I spoke with them in Yora. And they're the ones that had stories about having their ancestors, you know, meet with the Incas and all that kind of stuff. The amazing thing about the Incas is that they were able to conquer such a large area, so much ethnic diversity, and yet somehow wield it all together and say, you know, administer it, and despite all these different languages and this terrain, it's just so, you know, incredible, that kind of thing. And build these fantastic cities and architecture and whatnot.
But to follow on her question, the Quechua speakers today, are they descendants of the Incas or of the peoples that the Incas conquered?
That's a good question. All of those things together. Because they conquered an empire from southern Colombia all the way to the northern Chile, and all the different ethnic groups in between.
But I mean, were the Incas themselves, were they wiped out either by the Spanish directly or by disease? Or did they continue to...
No, they're still. I mean, those people are descendants of that culture, I should say. Mm-hmm. There's the ethnic group, the Incas, that conquered everybody, and they're very similar to the other ethnic groups. Because an ethnic group, in the sense that they had their own language and customs and history and that kind of thing. But the whole empire ended up speaking Quechua, and all those people survived. But what really happened, what helped the Spaniards out, is that before Pizarro even arrived, actually Pizarro made a number of trips looking for an empire. And he first went down in 1526 and came back in 1528. And preceding him, smallpox had gone down through Mexico and the Caribbean, that kind of thing, and beat Pizarro to Peru. And at the time, there was an Inca emperor, Manco Capac, who was up in the northern part of the empire, and he was killed by smallpox while Pizarro was back in Spain trying to get permission to go conquer this empire. And the smallpox killed the emperor. That started a civil war between the southern part of the empire and the northern part, two brothers, and the empire was devastated by both smallpox and war before Pizarro landed. So it had been heavily, it's kind of like somebody arriving right after the American Civil War and stepping ashore and saying, who's your leader? Take me to your leader. And that was this Atahualpa at the time, who just vanquished his brother. So, nasty stuff. Yeah.
So is that what you mean when you're saying that the Incan Empire was crumbling even before the Spanish arrived?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, it was severely weakened because of smallpox, because of the big civil war had been going on for 4 or 5 years, and it had just been reunited before Pizarro stepped ashore. So it was a whole combination of events. There was only 168 guys. But they'd also stepped in the empire, been split in two, weakened by disease. They had the advantage of having horses. The Incas didn't have horses. They had guns, gunpowder. They had the knowledge of Cortez having conquered Mexico already a dozen years earlier. So they knew about capturing emperors and that kind of thing, using political divisions. They had all these. They had a lot more understanding of that kind of thing than the Inca emperor did. The Inca emperor had no clue what these people were. He just thought they're 168 guys, what am I going to worry about? In fact, one of the stories comes out, he was going to capture them, capture their horses, breed their horses, because he'd never seen horses before, and then make eunuchs of the Spanish leaders and have them guard his harem. At least that's what... You never know these documents, because the documents that survive are Spanish documents, and you know, you go through all these filters. Just for example, when the Inca Empire was captured by Pizarro, there's probably 5 or 6 different eyewitness accounts that have survived. But one is written by a guy that didn't write until he was like 40 years later. Another guy, you know, one had an axe to grind with Pizarro. You know what I'm saying? It's like taking statements from witnesses about a car accident, but one now, and one 20 years from now, and one by a guy who hates the guy in the first car. And, you know, so you're trying to decipher, you know, what actually happened. Really, nobody knows exactly what happened when Atahualpa was captured. There's different accounts. You can choose your account, but